Well, since we've not been able to meet in the church building recently, one or two of you have invited me to bring a little bit of church to the streets where you live. So we've rigged up a few loudspeakers. We've played songs like Amazing Grace or Abide With Me, songs that people are reasonably familiar with. And then I've said a few words and we finished with a prayer. The whole thing has lasted only a few minutes, but I have to say it has been pretty nerve-wracking. I found it quite stressful at times. But lots of people have come out and watched, and most seem to have appreciated it. So hopefully it's been a worthwhile thing to do. Now, after one that we did last Sunday, there were some interesting comments on Facebook afterwards. One particular person was quite angry at what he saw as me kind of forcing religion down people's throats. Apparently, I'm told that if I do this near his house, I'm going to get a bucket of water thrown over me. So should I be worried? Well, the trouble is, of course, I've no idea where he lives. So I find myself a little bit stressed about doing the whole thing in the first place, and also now a bit anxious about what might get thrown at me next time I do it. Well, stress and anxiety, as it happens, are the topics that we're looking into this morning. Those of you that have been with us in the last few weeks will know that it's part of our bigger theme, which is working for Jesus. And we've been looking into the Bible to see what it says about work. And we found that work is actually meant to be a positive thing. Humans have been designed, we've been created to be active, to serve, to look out for one another. And God's plan for work was that it should be fulfilling. And he's given us the unique privilege of managing and caring for his creation. He's made us, the Bible says, in his image, in order that we might be ambitious for anything that will bring honor to him. But of course, that's not always our experience, is it? We perhaps rarely experience some of those things. Work is often really hard. It's in many situations become a bit of a laborious rat race where we compete to get the best things for ourselves, where we strive to build up our own reputations, where we just want to fill up our own bank accounts and provide security for our own futures. And so often we end up doing that intentionally or unintentionally at the expense of others or at the detriment to the environment, to the world around us. And whether or not we succeed or fail in those things, it often comes as a cost to ourselves. Work is stressful. I mean, we all know that. Some of you are getting stressed at the moment, no doubt, homeschooling your children. Those at school and uni still, in some cases, have the pressure of sitting important exams. For others, it's the stress of meeting deadlines, of making tough decisions. Or maybe it's the stress of having a manager at work who's uncaring or even bullying. The strain at the moment, of course, of sitting through Zoom meeting after Zoom meeting. Not to mention those who don't know whether they still have a job next week or those that are now sadly looking for jobs and stressing perhaps over job applications. Well, stress and worry are never far from us. And just to be clear, I'm not speaking here of clinical anxiety or depression in that sense. Just as it's true that physical pain and discomfort can sometimes point to the need for medical attention, so of course that is true of mental health. And some of you remember that Chris Munday from the Crossways community spoke helpfully on that subject when he visited us last year. I want this morning to speak about the kind of stress that we all experience at different times and, of course, at different levels. Every one of us, from those at school right through to those who are retired, experiences different stresses at different times. And if you think you live a completely stress-free life, I can assure you, you really haven't lived. Well, as we've been exploring this subject of work, I've come across a number of useful books. I've mentioned some of them already. This week, I found this particular one. I think a picture might appear on your screens as well. It's called Gospel-Centered Work, Becoming the Worker God Wants You to Be. It's by Tim Chester, who incidentally spent his first few years here at Caterham Baptist Church. And it comes in the form, actually, of a study guide that might be helpful for home groups, maybe to look at and study, perhaps in due course. So as we look at how to deal with stress, I want to make two simple observations, which I think broadly reflect what the Bible has to say about this issue. And the first of those two observations is this, that working for Jesus is bound to be stressful. Now, let me repeat that, because it might not have been quite what you're expecting to hear this morning. Working for Jesus will be stressful. Now don't misunderstand me. Christian life, of course, does bring absolute peace, absolute security of knowing that our sins are forgiven and that we are one with God. And we'll come back to some of those things in a few minutes. But being reconciled to God has never meant having an easy life. Jesus Christ, of course, has called all of us to take up our crosses and to follow him on that path of suffering and self-denial. And of course, that's not going to be stress-free. Before he took up his own cross, just on that night before, Jesus himself was so stressed that he was found sweating blood. So if your kind of Christianity is basically kind of relaxing in comfort, putting your feet up while you wait for heaven, you really need to check whether it's the real Jesus that you're actually following. Let me give you just a few quick examples. A couple of weeks ago, we read about these guys in Daniel's day, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the ones who refused to bow down to that statue of King Nebuchadnezzar. And of course, the consequence of that was that they got thrown into the furnace. Now, by some miracle, God helped them to survive that experience. But I'm guessing that the whole thing cannot have been exactly stress-free. And then what about Daniel himself? I mean, he had a choice. He could either stop praying or he could be thrown to the lions. Now, of course, I've never been in a lion's den, so I'm not speaking from experience here, but I'm pretty sure that the kind of stop praying option would have been a lot more comfortable for Daniel. And what about Jesus's disciples? Was life comfortable for them? Well, they were in the boat with Jesus himself when a massive storm came up, the like of which they'd never seen before. And these guys, they were fishermen. They had years of experience of sailing the Sea of Galilee. But on this occasion, they were petrified, even though Jesus was in the boat with them. And then what about a little bit later on, when Jesus was arrested? What happened to his closest friends then? Well, they were too scared even to stick around. And then even later, after Jesus had risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, then they had another choice. They could either kind of forget all about it, lead a nice, comfortable, stress-free life beside the Mediterranean, or they could go and tell the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ and face abuse, imprisonment, and even execution. Well, only last Sunday, Andrew Mwowo reminded us, didn't he, of the boldness of Peter and of John. The authorities told them to keep their mouth shut. But what did they say? Well, we read this in Acts chapter 4, verse 19. They said, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? Will you be the judges? As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard." Well, needless to say, that wasn't the stress-free option. Because working for Jesus means choosing every day to do the things that honour him. And those often are very uncomfortable choices. Choices which come at a cost. Choosing effectively to surrender control of our lives to Jesus himself. And that loss of control is by definition likely to lead to a higher level of stress. The feeling of being out of control is a very common cause of stress. Take, for example, you know, we get stressed, don't we, when our workload becomes more than we can manage, when we become out of control. Or we get stressed when the train's delayed and we can't get to that meeting that we're meant to be at. It's out of our control. Or of course, right now, look at the stress that's being caused to governments and businesses as we're faced with the uncomfortable fact that the world that people thought was under their control is actually not. In a matter of weeks or months, God has reminded us of who is actually in control of this world. And it's not us. But it is a human instinct to want to be in control. And that desire is in direct conflict with the Christian faith that requires us to hand over that control to Jesus. There's a couple of verses in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 that put it quite succinctly like this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Trusting God means letting go, absolutely letting go, giving him the keys, letting him be in the driving seat. And none of that comes naturally. It can mean having to stand out from the crowd. So one example, when a promotion opportunity comes along, it means that you don't just automatically take it. You consider the benefits of what it's going to be for God's kingdom, not just the benefits or even the increased earnings to yourself. Not that that can be a bad thing necessarily. You need to think about how this decision is going to affect your family. Will it take me away from church? What opportunities will it give me or take away from me to share the Lord Jesus? Or maybe it's a bit like when you first become a parent. As a Christian, there's someone else to consider now. It's not about me anymore. And all of those things and many more can be quite stressful. But the only way to live a genuine Christian life is to actually let go of control. And of course, when we do that, we're not our own anymore. We've been bought, as it were. We now belong to Jesus. And he doesn't want us to stay the same. He wants us to grow. And in the Bible, God says his people are, Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 6. It says, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. Incredibly, God is willing to take us just as we are, like a lump of clay. And if you're listening this morning and you've not yet become a Christian, maybe you're thinking, well, how could God possibly accept me after the life I've led, after some of the things that I've done? I'm obviously just not good enough. Well, the great news is that you don't have to be good. Jesus was the good one, and he dealt with the bad stuff, our bad stuff, I should say, when he died on the cross. You don't need to be good. You just need to be humble, and you need to allow him to take you just as as it were, a lump of clay, and let him mold you into something that's going to be useful and bring glory and honor to him. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a potter at work. You look at the clay when they do that. The clay obviously gets stretched, it gets knocked around all over the place, the edges get smoothed out. And imagine if you were that lump of clay, it's got to be pretty stressful if you're being beaten up and moved around and molded like that. Well, if you're in the workplace, that molding process will inevitably mean getting outside of your comfort zone at times. So, for example, you might have to adapt to new systems. And, of course, that helps us develop our technical ability. You might have to meet some hard deadlines, and that should improve our organizational skills. Dealing with difficult managers hopefully will help develop our patience and other things. Being rejected, of course, for your Christian faith, and that certainly happens in the workplace. That will help us to better understand and relate to the Saviour that we're following. Giving presentations can certainly help your speaking gifts. This has not been anything that I particularly enjoy. In fact, I'm quite scary at times. But I can now see why God pushed me into some pretty uncomfortable experiences at work over the years. All sorts of things, many of them quite stressful, are there for a purpose. They're there to help us grow so that we might become more like Jesus and more useful in his service. Now, some of these things might be amongst the trials that Peter, for example, writes about in the Bible. The verse should come up on your screens in a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. These trials have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth, that is your faith is of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. There's a purpose in these trials. Because God loves his children. He loves us that are trusting in his son too much to let us stay just as we are. He doesn't want lumps of clay, ultimately. He wants jars, things that are going to be useful in his service. And he also loves us far too much not to correct us. Being corrected, of course, is stressful as well. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 says this, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? Parents who love their children will not let them persist in doing things that are wrong. Parents who fail to correct their children are not showing love. But kids never understand that, do they? I mean, when you ground them and you say, you know, this is for your good, you know. They don't exactly respond, do they? And say, of course, Dad, you're absolutely right to cut my pocket money. Thank you for showing such great love towards me. They don't say things like that. They don't, do they? They shout and they scream and they get stressed. And sometimes, of course, we can react like that when God corrects us. Take an example. I imagine many of you have performance reviews at work. From my experience, it feels great when the manager gets alongside you and tells you what a great job you've been doing over the last year. But it's not quite so comfortable when they start telling us about the things that we could do better or even the things that we've failed in. I've found on my own experience that the automatic reaction to some of that feedback is perhaps first to deny it, then maybe to make excuses, or to compare it with other people who we think we're kind of doing better than. No, loving discipline, it is stressful, but it's invariably for our good. But through all of these experiences, God is at work, taking us outside of our comfort zones, molding us, correcting us. I don't know if you know this, but it takes a long time for a butterfly to emerge from a chrysalis. And it's hard work for that creature. It's stressful for the poor thing. Someone once tried to help out in this process by cutting open the chrysalis for it. But on that occasion, as soon as the butterfly emerged from the chrysalis, it fell to the ground and it died. It needed that hard work. It needed that stress of fighting its way out in order to build up its muscles, in order to build up its strength, to then fly away and be the thing that it was meant to be. Working for Jesus is bound to be stressful, but it is all for our good. We need, all of us, a certain amount of stress if we're going to grow into the faithful, obedient servants that God has called us to be. Well, there's a whole lot more in the Bible that we could look at this morning, especially, of course, about our calling to suffer for the sake of our Saviour. But I hope those things just give you a little bit of a flavour and they help us to be a bit more aware of what God might be doing through the discomfort that he so often allows us to experience. Well, that's my first broad observation from the Bible. Working for Jesus is bound to be stressful. Well, the second is this, and it might perhaps on the surface, sound a little bit contradictory. Working for Jesus is bound to be stressful, but with Jesus, we don't need to worry. With Jesus, we don't need to worry. Although in theory, stress levels are likely to be higher for Christians than for others, this is more than compensated for by the fact that followers of Jesus have a divine counselor, one to whom we can always turn. Now, I mentioned earlier the occasion when his disciples were with him or on the boat. And it seems that Jesus on that occasion wasn't quite so bothered about the storm as his friends were. We read in Mark chapter 4, don't we, that Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. His stressed out companions, on the other hand, they woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Well, Jesus got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down and it was completely calm. Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Well, why were they so stressed? Well, it was because they failed to trust Jesus. That they'd seen his miracles, they knew what he could do, but when that moment came, they failed to put their faith into practice. But of course, before we criticize them too much, I'm sure we can all think of times when we have similarly failed. We all, many of us, believe what the Bible says. We know the promises that Jesus will never leave us. We know he cares about us more than anything. And yet somehow when crises occur, whether they be at work or at home or at school or wherever, so often we still fail to trust him implicitly. Well, in the time that we've got left, I just want us to look at some of the guidance that Jesus gave to his disciples, to his friends, which Sean, as I said, read for us from Luke chapter 12. Now, Jesus' friends at that point were worried because they knew that he was becoming unpopular amongst the religious leaders, that they were anxious for their own safety and, of course, for Jesus' safety. They were anxious for this mission that they thought Jesus had come to achieve. Well, Jesus then gave them some helpful perspective. Back in verse 4, before the passage that we read, do have a look with me. Back in verse 4, Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell." Well, soon after that, Jesus was interrupted and he told a story. You can see that in the middle of chapter 12 of Luke's gospel. He told a story about a man who completely left God out of his life. But he then faced the terror of God's judgment the moment that he died. And whilst we're talking about stress, by the way, there is no stress in this life that compares with what people will face eternally if they've not bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus. Well, then Jesus urges us to get our priorities in order. He says you don't need to get stressed about these basics, about anything in life, what you're going to eat, what your body will look like, what you're going to wear. And these are just examples. You don't need to worry about these things. Why not? Well, look at verse 30. It says, well, that's what the pagan world does. That's what the world around us gets stressed about. Well, Winston Churchill knew something about this. In his latter days, he said this. He said, "When I look back on all these worries, I remember the story of an old man who said on his deathbed that he had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which had never happened." That's what the pagan world does. But continue in verse 30, it says, "But your Father knows that you need them." God has promised to provide us with everything that we actually need. So he will do that. We don't need to worry. So if you've got a list of things that you want in life that haven't yet turned up, it's probably because you don't actually need them. Even in the most stressful circumstances, we don't need to worry. The Lord Jesus is our good shepherd, and he will ensure that his sheep are cared for and that they have everything in life that they need. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that we just simply sit down and kind of wait for life to go on. We have to keep working, keep trusting him, keep using the strength that he gives us, keep exercising the wisdom and the minds that he's giving us, keep acting with integrity and with love. Keep taking opportunities to discover and to exercise the gifts that God has given you. Pluck up the courage to tell other people about our faith. But let's stop worrying about the things that he hasn't yet given us to do. The key, of course, is in verse 31, isn't it? I'm sure you noticed that. Verse 31, seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Because when our eyes are on Jesus, when we are looking to him as our king, we won't be so bothered about all the other stuff. That's partly why I read from Psalm 42 a little bit earlier. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Well, that was certainly the attitude that the Apostle Paul had. We read recently, didn't we, as we were looking through the Bible book of Philippians in chapter 4. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in each and any, in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all of this. I can cope with all of this stress, all of these things that God puts me through because of him who gives me strength. When Jesus is in the boat with us, we don't need to worry. However bad that storm is getting, he will bring us through in the end. But of course, in order to trust Jesus like that, we have to know him. And that was where his disciples at that point were struggling. They didn't know him quite so well as they thought they did. So we need to spend more time with Jesus. We need to spend time alone with Jesus. Just like he did, of course, setting such a perfect example when he went off and prayed at times with his Father. And we need to read his word. We need to be reading the Bible. We need to not only to read it, we need to treasure it. We need to remember and think about his promises. So this lockdown period for many of us is an opportunity. It shouldn't leave us unchanged in any respect. It's an opportunity to draw near to the Lord Jesus. And if you do that, I can guarantee, because of what God promises, that you will be better equipped to deal with stress. Now, during the 25 years or so I was working in the civil service and at the Bank of England, I worked for quite a few different managers over that time. Some of them cared, I found, a lot more than others did. But none of them would ever have given their lives for me or for any of their staff. None of them had the power to guarantee that my future would always be safe. None of them had divine wisdom. But during that time, I came under new management. I discovered a master who would do all of those things for me, a savior whose love was eternal and unconditional. Now, of course, I still had to work under those other managers. I still had to respect their God-given authority, even when I didn't like it very much. And that's a subject I hope that we can explore a little bit together next Sunday morning. But since I've been working for Jesus, there have been plenty of stresses, perhaps more. But I've got to know and trust him a little bit more. And as I've done that, I've learned to worry a bit less. I'm certainly not putting myself up as a model. I've got a long, long way to go yet. So if anyone asks me to come and pray in your street locally, I think I will do it. Although, of course, you could probably do it just as well yourselves. And if it happens that somebody does throw a bucket of water over me, or maybe something worse, please at that point do remind me of what I've been saying this morning. Remind me, of course, of all the many who have endured so much more for the sake of Jesus over the last few centuries. With him in the boat, we can face every storm. We can face everything that people might throw at us, or that life might throw at us. Look back again at Luke chapter 12 as we come towards a close. Verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Working for Jesus will be stressful, but with him at our side, we don't need to worry. Don't be afraid, says Jesus in that passage, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom.